Welcome to the IVM Podcast Network.
If you like the Drinks and Destinations podcast, which is an IndusVox media production, we also have other podcasts like the Stylogram. If you're looking for some stylish tips, you do tune into that.
You're listening to the Drinks and Destinations podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Drinks and Destinations podcast. I'm your host Rojita and I have Samira with me. Samira, what do you have to say today?
You know, Rojita, what I have to say today is very easy to like sit back in your house and order junk food. It's very easy to sit at home, order like beers or a bottle of wine and just glug it down. But you know what's really important?
Yeah, tell me.
Fine dining etiquettes, wine etiquettes. Yeah. And when you're out of the house, you're in a corporate setting or you're in a formal setting where you're meeting important people, how to behave is very important.
Oh, yeah. I think there have been a lot of issues with in that department for a lot of people.
Right.
And especially if you have to go out on a date with someone and you
and
you've been given like a huge wine list in a restaurant. You don't know how to behave and what to say there. How to select a bottle of wine. I think that could be a very tricky situation, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And all of us, I think, some point have been through that and you want to save yourself through that embarrassment. So don't worry, guys. We are here today to save you because we have someone really special with us in the studio who's going to help us get to know all these grooming and etiquette formats.
Absolutely. Are you going to introduce our guest?
Yes, absolutely. She's a very special guest we have right over here. And she, what she does best is corporate grooming, international etiquettes, fine dining training. And apart from that, she has flown as a VVIP hostess on the Prime Minister's foreign official visits.
Wow.
Yes, so I'm talking about Miss Sunita Sodhi Kanga. D&D Chat. Hello and welcome to our podcast.
Hello, Samira. Hello,
Hi,
Sunita.
Sunita.
Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you so much for coming to the studio today. And tell us what's happening in the corporate grooming industry right now.
Well, I'm very busy. As you can imagine, because there are so many people who have the same questions like what Samira said. So, yes, this is very much a topic that is in high demand because it's also a lot of fun. And it's not just corporate, actually. You know, yes, mostly it's the corporates who hire me from a business angle, but it's actually very useful even from a social angle.
Mm-hmm.
All these tips.
Wow. So I would really like to ask about your journey, first of all, because it's very interesting. You started your career with Air India as an international air hostess and you were crowned Miss World Airlines in 1989. So from that to here, how did it all start?
Yeah. When did you realize that this is what you would like to do?
Okay, as far as the airline went, I think I was about 6 years old when I had decided that when I grow up, I want to be an air hostess. And that's what I was. And I was crowned the best air hostess in the world, which came, I suppose, something with the universe and goals, etc. was working
How
there.
How old were you then?
I was 20 when I joined the airline. So I was actually quite young. But it just so happened that as soon as I graduated, there was an opening. And it just so happened that I was right there. Giving all my exams, went through the process, and before you knew it, I was flying. My dream come true. I loved my job very much, and I love travel, and I like drinking wine. So I put it all together. So when I used to fly, I used to go for all these wine trails. I used to get to drink really nice wines. And as a flight attendant, they train you, you know, on wines, etc., because you're serving them. So I was always very interested. And, you know, I've used all those trainings that I got to the current thing that I do. Well, I flew for 8 years. Where I was a VVIP hostess also, where I used to fly the then Prime Minister on his official visits abroad. I quit flying, like a lot of mothers in those days. I wanted to be a hands-on mother. The day my elder daughter was born, I quit flying. I have two daughters. And because I wanted to do something from home, I started my own brand of skin and hair care products. So what's not mentioned here is that also have my own brand of skin and hair care products.
What are those called?
It's called Salon Secrets. It's a very small boutique kind of a brand. We have 18 skin and hair care you know, line of under eyes and anti-aging creams and oils and things that women love. Then, of course, to promote those products, I used to talk a lot about skincare and hair care and go to symposiums and exhibitions. And it was all talking. And somewhere I realized that I can give information really well. And people were always holding on and listening to me, anything and everything. So from skin and hair care, it grew to makeup. And then it became attire. And then I started consulting with individuals. They wanted to know how to walk, how to talk. So it grew from there. And it was all freelancing from home because my kids were still young. Then I started working as a grooming instructor for a airline training center. And that was when, like, by that time the girls had grown up and they were ready to go to full day of school. So I could do a part-time job. Mm-hmm. And I was training a very boisterous group of pilots. Okay. They were very smart boys, naturally, mm-hmm. pilots, but they had no manners. Oh, and I said, this is just not going to work. I can't just teach them about grooming and how to stand and all when they don't have manners. So on my own, I decided to take a class on international etiquette. And I taught them how to open doors, how to shake hands, how to greet ladies, and how to eat, how to hold forks and knives and wines. And it was so popular, that class, that after that, everybody else said, we also want to do this class. And before you knew it, I was involved in etiquette.
Oh, wow.
And then one thing led to the other, word of mouth, somebody from the corporates wanted their staff. And that time there was no corporate training. I'm talking like 15 years ago, there was no corporate training. So there I was. So it's all just fallen into place. But mm-hmm. If you see, it's all interrelated because grooming and etiquette is a very abstract kind of a word, if you see.
And it's kind of a personal choice. I mean, people...
Yeah.
I mean, they need to realize that if... You can't impose that on anyone saying that, you know, oh, you need to go for a grooming class.
Absolutely.
Or something. So it's just, you have to realize that maybe you would require to go for a class and to maybe enhance your knowledge and improve your work skills or something like that. But
you know, you'll be surprised that what you're saying is so true, because I have not spent 1 rupee on advertising.
Oh.
Yeah. It's only firefighting. Mm-hmm. When somebody has a problem, let's say somebody went abroad and they made total
mess of themselves,
embarrassed the company. Yeah.
Maybe that's in a black tie event where you don't know how to behave.
They wore chappals, or they were slurping, or they were eating and not discussing business, and they were dressed badly. That's when the HR companies start searching. Oh, we have to do a grooming training over here. We need to do an etiquette training. So it's only when people really mess up, they really blunder, that mm-hmm. people start searching for me. So I get the calls, you know, and which works very well for me because I'm so lazy at marketing myself. So that's how it's been with me, and I'm just lucky. I'm doing what I love to do.
Mm-hmm. What fun. Great. And also, like, because you do corporate grooming and there are people who have, like, studied quite a bit. They have a few degrees. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like there's resistance from, like, a group coming in?
Sure.
Yeah.
For the first 5 minutes.
Oh. And then they're all yours.
Then they're all mine.
That knack we have to crack, Rajita. What does she do in those 5 minutes?
Absolutely. I have attended a few of her tasting sessions. I remember the cognac tastings that she'd done earlier. Mm-hmm. And those are really interesting and very good. And obviously, she is very good at what she does. And I've known her for a very long time now. But yes, this could be very intimidating for some people who are going there for the first time, and they don't want to admit that they're actually, like,
they're all Mr. Miss Know-It-Alls, you know.
And exactly. They feel, and then it could be an ego hassle as well at some point, isn't it?
You know, you'll be surprised that a lot of times my participants are older than me.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they have, like, they got gray hair and they're like CEOs and MDs of companies, and they are sitting and listening to me. But for them, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the juniors and the middle management who have that resistance. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the more senior you get, they realize that, yes, we need this.
That.
Because they have been through a situation. They're technically extremely sound. They're very intelligent. They know their business. But when they go into the global world, they realize that we are lacking somewhere. Mm. You know, because the suave and the polish is missing.
Yeah.
And they want this training because they want to learn it. They know how it's going to help them.
So what's the most popular training that you have given to the corporates or regular clients when it comes to drinking? you know, suppose a wine tasting or a, what questions do they ask usually?
In wine appreciation, you know, my clients, very few of them actually know wines or have been drinking wines, because India, as you know, is like a whiskey and spirit drinking country. So vodkas, cocktails, whiskeys, beers is very, very popular. And wine is still a mystery for mm-hmm. most of them. They yeah. know, mm-hmm. they've heard about wine. They right. know like red wine, white wine, but they have no idea what it is. I've had people ask me, you don't mix soda and water in this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes, you know, sometimes. I mean, of course, it's not always that they ask me such questions. They know that internationally, fine dining wine, they've been offered wines, they know it's alcohol. But beyond that, it's still a mystery. It's mm-hmm. very foggy. Mm. So when we hold these workshops, it's really very basic. I have to start telling them that, you know, it's made out of grapes. Mm. That's like number one.
Yeah, right.
That's when it's called wines. But yeah, you do have a lot of people who do drink wine, who do appreciate wine, who they would prefer to have a beer or a whiskey. But if mm-hmm. there's only wine,
maybe
they're ready
to experiment.
Because
of the fact that wine is really intimidating. And the
intimidating and very
difficult.
Nascent. And very nascent. Yeah. It's mysterious. So yes. And please remember that these people have been studying.
Right.
They've been going and really getting those degrees and, you know, a lot more than...
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I can't say... I don't know about you guys, but a lot
a
more
bit.
Than me. So, somewhere, you know, they didn't really experience the finer things of life. Mm-hmm. And as you know, wine can be like very sophisticated and the knowledge never stops.
Wine 101.
So now that we're talking about wine tastings, suppose I'm someone who has no idea how to drink wine or order a glass of wine, and I walk into a fine dining restaurant. So can you take us through that process where I would sit down and actually very successfully I can order a good glass of wine without making a like a really
fool
embarrassing
yourself.
Yeah, fool of myself and embarrassing anyone?
Sure. So the first thing is that you have to order your food, okay? Because the wine depends on the food that you've ordered. You don't do it the reverse way. You first decide what you want to eat. And now, if you're eating in courses, if you start with a salad, then preferably you should have a wine that matches the salads and the fish course. And then, of course, you go to the red meat. So the red wines come along. But if you don't want to go so elaborate, you don't mm-hmm. want to order 3-4 different wines, mm-hmm. then it's okay to just order one bottle, which should be like a popular choice, which kind of matches with everybody's choices. Now, if you want to have wine by the glass, that is also okay, because mm-hmm. people have discerning tastes. Maybe she wants a rosé, maybe you want a white wine, maybe I want a red wine. But if everybody's agreed, for example, to order a bottle of rosé mm-hmm. or a red wine, then of course you order a bottle which everybody shares. So I suggest that when you're two people, mm-hmm. order a bottle.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can drink 3 glasses each.
That's okay. Yeah.
We're on the same page with that.
It's not going to get wasted. If you're dining alone, yes, well, you know, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you would go wine by the glass. So first you have to decide what you want to eat mm-hmm. and then look at the wine list after mm-hmm. you have decided. And then, of course, you can use the help of a sommelier. Mm. Or the maitre d' or senior waiter who knows what you have ordered. He may make a nice suggestion. He may lead you to the most expensive wines.
So you have to be careful.
But you don't have to. You're not obliged to. You can say, oh, can I have an Australian? Can I have an Indian wine? Can I have something below this budget?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always indicate to them, because obviously they have to upsell their establishment. So once you've decided you want a red or a rosé, or this is the budget, you want an Indian, you want old world, you want new world, then of course it shrinks down to what are the choices.
Mm.
And then you make a decision. Sometimes it is a decision made on a previous wine that you have enjoyed or had
someone
before.
Someone has recommended.
Someone has recommended something you've heard about. Or sometimes it may be, oh, I've never tasted this. Let's order that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really could be, it's very variable. There are no hard and fast rules. See, that's
and
the thing.
And then sometimes there are vintages that would confuse you totally if you don't know about wines.
So vintages, though, I don't even get into,
mm.
you know,
of course.
Because that makes it even more more complex.
Yeah.
But yes, what you need to do is if you have ordered a certain vintage, like let's say you ordered a 2011 wine, an Argentinian 2011 wine, and when he brings the wine to you, you should check if it's the same vintage. Mm-hmm. Because it, on the menu, it may be written as a 2011, but he may have brought you a 2015. Mm-hmm. So just check that part, which is why they always show you the bottle.
Or maybe a much earlier vintage, and you might end up paying more for that sometimes. So all those things also needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And would you also recommend that you should ask for a sip of the wine before ordering the complete bottle?
Certainly.
Because obviously sometimes the wines are not stored properly in these stores, and
absolutely,
it's very important to know that you are, what you're served is what is good.
Right. So typically, see, if you're ordering a bottle, and if that bottle is on the wine by glass list, then it's very easy for them to give you a taste, right? Mm-hmm. Because they just take it from the wine by the glass bottle, which is already open. If you're ordering a bottle, then it is mandatory. I mean, they are absolutely going to give you a taste of it before they serve the guests. So it is the duty of the host to actually sip the wine, taste it, give the say, and see that it is in good condition to be served to your guests. And only after you've gone through this whole process will it be offered to your guests. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people, the funny things that are coming to my mind is that a lot of people, the first question they ask me is, ma'am, if we don't like the wine, can we return the bottle? Okay, that's a standard question.
Yeah.
So I said, yes, that's the whole reason why you're doing this tasting, right, this elaborate tasting, because you're going to be paying a lot of money for that bottle.
Exactly.
So yes, of course. So they said, but how do we come to know that it is not good? So I said, well, you open about 200 bottles of wine before, and then you will be able to detect a wine fault.
Yeah, so it is quite difficult.
Very
actually,
difficult.
You know, if you
very
don't
difficult.
Wine regularly.
Yeah. So 200 bottles PO. After that, tell me. I'll discuss this with you after that.
So this is ordering wine in a restaurant. If you'd go, what about like the process? Would you say is it similar for gifting wine? Like if you know your boss is a wine lover, or you're going out on a date and you know this girl likes wine, how would you recommend someone choose a perfect bottle of wine to gift?
Wines make excellent gifts, right? So if you're going to somebody's house or visiting, I would say it's the best gift to give. It doesn't have a shelf life like mitai or chocolates. Mm-hmm. And everybody likes wine, right? And it's something that can be re-gifted. So of course, the first thing that you need to do is know that your host is he drinks, because if he's a teetotaler, it would be such a waste of a gift.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing. And if he is, then it makes a very elegant gift. I would say that you choose something depending on their taste. If you know there's a particular wine that they like, it would be wonderful to gift that to them. If he's a connoisseur, then you want to be really careful, and if you really want to impress them, pick up the best bottle, and which he will appreciate. He knows it's special, it's hard to come by, it's a collector's item and all, but then you have to have really deep pockets for that. Depends on how much makhan you want to maro on them. Otherwise, I think a mid-section wine, and especially we have some very nice Indian wines. A lot of people have this snob value that Indian wines are not good, and only if it's imported it makes a good gift. But I don't think that's true. I think we in India have, I think Rojita will agree with me, not all wines are good. You can't say that, but you always have that one or two every winery makes one or two wines which are really quite excellent.
Very nice.
And if you do a blind tasting, most people might not even know that it's an Indian wine.
In fact, the range between 700 to 2000 right now has such brilliant wines in the market, starting from local Indian wines to some imported wines.
Yeah.
It's just much easier for us to, in fact, go
absolutely
and gift someone if needed. That's right.
And you have these pretty looking wine bags. I've seen so many different types of wine bags which also look quite lovely.
Quite good. Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's go on a short break, and when we come back, we talk to Sunita more about what to order and how exactly to behave in events.
Did you know that some termites in Africa have a pleasantly minty flavor?
Did you know that India's largest music festival was in a way conceptualized in Estonia?
Did you know that the awesomest chips in the world are found only inside US prisons?
Hello, I'm Chuck.
I'm Shrikid.
And I'm Naren.
And together we are
Simplified,
a podcast that helps you appear smarter to an audience that knows no different.
Or give you some stuff to talk about at parties.
We are ultra crepidarians.
And if you don't know what that means,
then tune in to Simplified with a B on iTunes, Audioboom, or your favorite podcasting app. Episodes out every fortnight.
Welcome back. And before going on the break, we were talking to Sunita about wine etiquettes and basically how to behave when you go to an event and you have to taste a lot of wines or alcohol in general. And she specializes in corporate grooming, and she also advises people on how to behave in these places. So, Sunita, have you ever encountered any such problem or any such kind of people who have come across as someone who definitely needs to go for a grooming class?
You mean in my social
yes,
parties?
In your experience?
Oh, yes.
In general.
All the time.
So please tell us how the experience was.
So, but you know, I always try and ignore people when I meet socially, because I say I'm off duty. Don't be critical. Don't be. So it's an occupational hazard with me. I just can't help it.
I can't help it,
right? But I don't ever tell people that they need my classes.
So that would need a lot of self-control.
I just very discreetly hand them my card. So
that's a sign. Yeah. So if you give us a card by the end of today, Rajita, we know that we're in for some grooming.
No, not at all, please.
Oh dear God, even if we want your number, don't give us your card, please.
But you know, there's one thing that I always find very confusing. Like, the greetings in different countries have a different way. And sometimes, just recently this happened with me. I was in a party and I was meeting one French person, one British, and there was someone from Germany. And there was one person from India. And, you know, by the end of that greeting process, I was so confused. I had no idea how many kisses do you on both the sides. It's totally messed
it's
up.
It's as mysterious as wine, isn't that?
Yeah, absolutely.
One kiss, two kiss, three
And that's
kiss.
When I remembered you. I think, I wish Sunita was around to tell
me. I actually
me.
Have a slide on it. I spent 15 minutes discussing social kissing, or what is known as le bis. The French call it. So, might as well tell you the way I tell it.
Yeah, please. I think that's interesting.
So, when you meet somebody for the first time, it's always a handshake. Okay, so a complete stranger, you don't go and kiss. Okay, so the first...
And not on a whirlpool, definitely, one after the other.
So, and it's a prerogative of the lady to offer the hand first, even in European countries.
Okay.
It's always the lady who offers a hand first. In some places like Austria and Germany and even Italy, the gentleman will take your hand very lightly and he will turn it around and maybe kiss the hand, okay? Which is so charming. So the gentleman listeners, if you're listening to me, please remember that it's a air kiss, okay? Just like the kisses on the cheek, it's an air kiss. So you don't do one wet pachak on the lady's hand.
Thank you,
just
you
have
so
to,
much for clarifying.
I
that.
Have encountered some of those experiences.
It's a light brushing of the lips on her fingertips, and you're supposed to click your heels along with it. So it's this whole process, 45 degrees, angle, lift her hand, kiss it, and click your heels.
Lovely.
Wow.
Very charming. Anyway, if you feel that that's not going to work for you, just stick to a handshake.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when you meet, it's always a cheek to cheek, right? And everybody must offer their right cheek first, otherwise there'll be total confusion. So you're supposed to your own right cheek, you're supposed to offer your right cheek first. The distance depends on how pretty the lady is, but it's still cheek to cheek. Okay. It's still not lip to cheek, it's still cheek to cheek. One kiss, two kiss, or three kisses.
Okay.
It's a mystery. So yeah. Rajita, I'm sorry, I will not be able to help.
But
you
usually
out there.
The French kiss is two.
No,
like?
But in France, in the north, it may be two. But as you keep going down further south, it turns into three. In Brussels, sometimes it is three, sometimes it is two. West, north, east, south, it is like wine. You never
it's
know.
It's still a mystery. It's not been
it's in England, it's always handshake. But some people insist
even in England, I'm not the first one, remember? I said after. So when you meet a lady for the next time, yes, it's very common to give a kiss, right? Now, women and women kiss. Men and women kiss.
Oh, yeah, that's another one.
Men and men. No. Except in the Middle East. So don't even try kissing a lady in the Middle East. You go straight to
That's
jail.
That's recipe for disaster, yeah, right there.
Yeah. So in the Middle East, men and men kiss, and women and women kiss. But everywhere else, men and men shake hands, they embrace, they tap each other on the back. But no
kissing.
Yeah,
that works. So women and women, it has to be two.
No, there's no such rule.
Okay.
One, two, three, there's no such rule.
Okay.
Nothing is right, nothing is wrong.
Hmm.
Okay. So you're fairly traveled and you've been invited by embassies all over the world. And like you mentioned earlier, that this is fairly an abstract thing in India still, corporate grooming, wine etiquettes, fine dining. Where would you say like India stands as compared to rest of the world? Is it something still very new, upcoming or established? How does it go?
Are we well behaved?
Or are we getting there?
You know, it's cultures are different. There's no culture that is right. There's no culture that is wrong. There's no culture that is good. There's no culture that is bad. They're just different. Mm-hmm. So we end up comparing ourselves to different cultures and wondering if they are right and wrong. Nothing like that. So if you enjoy travel, and what I always tell people is, don't be a tourist, be a traveler. Mm-hmm. You know, go with an open mind. Stick to your core values. For example, as a Hindu, if you don't eat beef, you know, even if you're traveling, that's your core value. So as long as you're sticking to your core value, for everything else, have an open mind. Mm-hmm. And try and imbibe the good parts, the good customs of different countries, and you'll just improve yourself. Yeah. Right? There's a lot of scope in India, because now what is happening is India is doing business globally. Mm-hmm. So far, we were sitting in our own Indian culture. It was all very nice. You know, what people thought about Indians, about elephants and snake charmers, etc. And monkeys and Rajasthan dances and camels. Yeah. It's no longer that. I mean, we're, you know, technically so sound, and we travel and we're doing international global businesses. So now what is happening is that we need to come out of our Indian culture, because like I said, it's not that you're compromising by learning new cultures. You're just growing yourself. You're just improving your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Yeah.
That is the best etiquette to follow. So wherever you go, if you've done a little bit of homework and you respect their country's rules and change yourself to follow those countries' rules, that's the best manners to do. Which is why I always tell people that be flexible. Don't be rigid. To be rigid is actually bad manners.
And what about dressing? The way you should be dressing to a tasting or a party, or a, maybe if it's a gala dinner and you know that there are like 10 wines to be paired, it's a black tie dinner maybe. Hmm. So how exactly are you supposed to behave?
For men and women both.
Yeah.
Okay, so even if you're only talking about wine tastings, there are different types of wine tastings and dinners, right? Mm. So if it's a let's start with the most formal, red carpet event, or like you said, a black tie affair, right? So the men should actually be wearing dark suits, maybe even a tuxedo, but a lot of Indian men don't like to wear tuxedos because they feel that they look like
wait,
and they do. And they do. So, and you know, how many chances do you get to wear a tuxedo in India?
Yeah, hardly.
Hardly.
Dude,
so it's really not worth the
investment.
I have a
cousin who wore it for his reception, and everyone was like, oh, can we order a Coke from him?
Oh, God.
It's so sad.
Unless everyone else is wearing a tuxedo, it makes no sense for you to be the only one.
So then, of course, a dark suit and a nice black silk tie with no design on it. A nice crisp white shirt, okay? Not used to be white, now bordering on grey. Like really sparkling white shirt would work wonderfully for men.
Hmm.
And for ladies, you can wear, you know, ladies have so many options. So you can wear something very glamorous, the little black dress or a flowing pants, silks, fabrics which have a little bit of sheen.
Maybe a sari in India?
A sari looks beautiful.
Wow. Even abroad, sari works quite a lot.
You know, a sari is the most admired garment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even when you look at all these Cannes Festival and all, you look at the red carpet, it's always the saris that stand out. Yeah. So I am a total fan of the saris. I think it's a beautiful drape. And saris look fabulous.
In fact, the Indian suits also. You know, for gala dinners, the suits which are very
heavy,
maybe not heavy, but plain black or plain white, which are, you know, very nicely
Designs? You know, I'm not a fan of churidars and salwar kameezes. So I'm I'm a little biased towards sarees.
Okay.
Maybe they're designer one these days. We have it like the palazzos and all that.
I would still go
Western
for a sari.
Fusion? Okay, yeah.
I would still go for a sari. You either go Western, the little black dress, the fancy pants and, you know, flowing gowns and all, or you go with the sari.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
Okay.
Okay. Then, of course, any other party which is not as formal as a sit-down dinner, the idea is smart casual. So you should look smart. You should look like you've had a shower. You know, a lot of men don't shave because they like the 2 days stubble and all. I think that doesn't look nice at all. Please shave, gentlemen. Please cut your hair. These days, girls have short hair, men have long hair. I don't know what's happening to the world. So, smart casuals, clean, well-ironed clothes, good quality shoes, you know, nicely groomed, neat and clean, tidy, should work. And then, of course, you have wine events, which are al fresco, under the stars, on grass, open-air tastings. So, over there, again, you need to wear comfortable shoes. Don't wear heels. Wear flat shoes. You can wear jeans. You can wear khakis. You can wear cotton shirts. Or even for ladies, something off-shoulder made in cotton, you know, because it's going to be hot in the sun. You can wear a hat, dark glasses.
Those wine festivals.
Festivals, yeah.
Kind of
I would suggest you carry layers because it does get cold in the evening. So, maybe a jacket or a sweater or a shawl or a scarf.
That's how we got cold over the evening.
Yeah,
this weekend.
At Sula Fest when we were there last weekend.
So dressing in layers always helps. And especially if you have to walk through the vineyards and all, then the temperature can change. If they're going to show you the cellar room, the temperature might be really cold there. So it's always nice to do that.
All right, Sunita. So we have something special for you. I have like a couple of quick questions. So you have to make sure you answer them quickly and as short as possible.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I will try.
Brace yourself. Okay. A well-known personality you would like to train?
Modi.
A popular actor you think would make a good trainer?
You know, I think Anushka Sharma.
Ooh.
Or even Jacqueline Fernandez. I heard her talk and I thought she's got a lot of substance.
Nice. Okay, the worst mistake someone can make at a fine dining dinner?
Slurp.
Oh, and get drunk.
Ugh.
Having no control on the alcohol. Yeah.
An embarrassing incident or a person you came across while training?
Okay. So this was not when I was training. So I was having lunch with a very... it was a meeting, okay, over lunch. A very sophisticated gentleman, been to Harvard, studied everywhere, all the degrees in place, you know, jobs, global, worked internationally, and we were in a very nice Chinese restaurant, the top Chinese restaurant of India. And we were ordering, we were eating something. I, of course, was eating with my chopsticks, which is fine. I mean, I don't expect everybody to eat with his chopsticks. So he actually took his knife. And he wiped it on that lovely fresh linen napkin. So there was this hoisin sauce.
Oh my god.
Brown hoisin sauce all over that white napkin.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think that was really jarring.
Oh my god, that can be disturbing for a while. All right, here the last question is, if you get to host a show on wine etiquettes, which famous personality would you choose to be your co-host?
Raghuram Rajan.
All right.
Ooh, really?
I really dig him.
All right, so that was a fun round of quick questions, and it was really lovely chatting with you, Sunita. Thank you so much for coming here and taking time out.
Likewise. The pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sunita.
Thank you. And for all our listeners out there, if you want more information on grooming tips and etiquettes, you can log on to sunitakanga.com. And for our podcast, to listen to our episode, you can go on SoundCloud, Audioboom, iTunes, or any other local podcast app. You can like, comment, follow Drinks and Destinations on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also like, comment, and subscribe to our podcast on YouTube under the name Indus Vox Media.
And while all of us love our tipple, make sure that you drink responsibly. Bye.
Hey man, just help me out, man. I need some podcast, man. I haven't had a fix in a week. Just need some.
Don't you worry about it. I got podcasts galore for you, man. Just go to ivmpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thanks, man. I'm going to check it out.